Antifa Witches, A Glimpse into the Source of the Demonic Rage Surging About Us. Written by William F. Jasper. Friday, October 26, 2018. From Marx and Bakunin to Saul Alinsky and Antifa, the radical left has always had a fixation with Lucifer. This is basically Antifa Witches, Dakota Brachiali said in an interview with Newsweek. We're coming for these people's throats, and we will never stop, we will never be silenced. There are a lot of angry people who are righteously filled with rage that are going to take back our country. Dakota Brachiali, who identifies herself as a witch, was talking to Newsweek about the highly publicized October 20th event she was organizing, in which a coven of Brooklyn witches would cast a hex to make Kavanaugh suffer. She was referring, of course, to the newly confirmed U.S. Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. The public cursing of Justice Kavanaugh by the Antifa witches captured a few headlines during a couple of news cycles, but it was largely passed off by the mainstream media either merely as an oddity, or, in some instances, as a straight, newsworthy event that often was covered somewhat sympathetically. However, the spell-casting session, which took place at Catlin Books, an occult bookstore in Brooklyn, offers an opportunity for insight into the psychological and spiritual roots of the violent rage that so typifies Antifa, the Women's March, the anti-Trump resistance, and Indivisible, and the other foaming-at-the-mouth Democrats, commentators, and demonstrators that are brimming with uncontrolled wrath and hatred these days, even while they mindlessly chant, "Stop the hate." Confronted by the total irrationality of these people and the ferocity of their rage, most normal people are left scratching their heads, wondering what could possibly have inspired such craziness. Here's a clue: much of the political rage that passes for craziness today is not merely the result of psychological disorder, but also of spiritual disorder. Most communists, Marxists, Maoists, Stalinists, Leninists, etc., publicly claim to be atheist materialists. They insist that God doesn't exist, that the idea of God is a rancid myth, and religion is the opiate of the people. However, throughout the history of revolutionary communism, we see over and over again words and behavior from leading theorists and practitioners of the revolutionary cause that belie this disbelief. In fact, many of these professional atheists do believe in God, they just choose to oppose, defy, and hate him. And they hate not only God and those who believe in him, but also hate the moral, social, and political order they associate with God. Like Lucifer, they wish to be gods and to refashion the world according to their own utopian whims and desires. From Marx and Bakunin to Saul Alinsky and Antifa, we see many examples of leaders of the radical left expressing a disturbing fixation with Lucifer, along with their nihilistic rage for destruction. If this is news to you, it most likely is as well to many leftist scholars, since it is a side of the revolution that is largely hidden in plain sight. We will get into specifics on this momentarily, but first, back to Catlin's Antifa Witches, which Brachiali assures us she is a spiritual person. The reality is, if you are a spiritual person, if you believe in religion or spirituality, that's another dimension to your existence, she explained. If you're going through hardship, you want to make sure you're being taken care of physically, mentally and emotionally, as well as, spiritually, so, Brachiali and her spell-casting sisterhood are spiritual folk. But, what type of spirituality are they channeling? Christians are supposed to follow the command of Jesus Christ to pray for their enemies, Matthew chapter 5 verse 44. And the Apostle Paul admonishes Christians to bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse, Romans chapter 12 verse 14. However, these witches follow a different command. Basically, it's all about causing suffering, Brachiali said. And we intend to make Kavanaugh suffer. Brachiali and her witch cabal have been performing hexes on President Trump privately, she said, since spring of 2017. She claims their curses have been successful because Trump has been exposed, humiliated, and invalidated. Taking the Kavanaugh curse session public is, apparently, a new move to send a message to Trump and America. No, you don't win. He may have been confirmed, but that's something we already knew was going to happen, Brachiali said. We know the system is broken, and the people in charge need to be taken down by any means necessary, magical or otherwise. Bring your rage, SJWs, social justice witches. In their Facebook invitation for the anti-Kavanaugh ritual, the witches say, please join us for a public hex on Brett Kavanaugh, upon all rapists and the patriarchy at large, which emboldens, rewards and protects them. We are embracing witchcraft's true roots as the magic of the poor, the downtrodden and disenfranchised, and its sick history is often the only weapon, the only means of exacting justice available to those of us who have been wronged by men just like him. He will be the focal point, the invitation reads, but by no means the only target, so bring your rage and all of the axes you've got to grind. These witches, as you see above, are into social justice for the poor, the downtrodden and disenfranchised, so, now the SJW label applies not only to social justice warriors, but also social justice witches. But if we were to ask the SJWs how many hospitals, clinics, orphanages, soup kitchens, food cabinets, disaster relief programs, schools, or other charitable works they had established to aid the poor, the downtrodden and disenfranchised, or how much they had ever contributed financially, or how much time they had volunteered at such programs and institutions, it is almost certain that they would have to admit they have done zilch. That is because the vast majority of real programs and institutions to help the needy, not only in the United States, but around the world, have been created and sustained by Christians, the very people the SJWs most despise. On the other hand, the SJWs might point to their claim that half of whatever proceeds they raised from the Kavanaugh Hex event would be split between America's premier abortionists, Planned Parenthood, and the Ali Forney Center for LGBTQ Youth. That's right, the witch's idea of charity is to help kill more babies. And they want to help those youth that survived the abortion holocaust by initiating them into LGBTQ disorientation and perversion. Demons, death, and destruction. As far back as 1872, the demonic bent of the communist revolutionary spirit was recognized and brilliantly exposed in The Possessed, also sometimes translated as The Demons or The Devils, by the great Russian novelist Fyodor Dostoevsky. In the novel, the devilish revolutionaries set fire to a village. As the villagers rush about attempting vainly to douse the roaring flames, a main character, Andrei Antonovich von Lemke, cries, "The fire is in the minds of men and not in the roofs of houses." And those fiendish fires are still raging in many Marx-besotted minds a century and a half after Dostoevsky penned his lines. Speaking of Marx, we should take a look at some of his little-known writings that have been studiously ignored and covered up for far too long. We have Robert Paine, the renowned British biographer, historian of the 20th century, to thank for bringing to light much of Marx's hidden writings in his 1971 book The Unknown Karl Marx. Reverend Richard Wurm Brand, who was brutally tortured during his 14 years spent in communist prisons, added to Paine's discoveries in his small paperback was Karl Marx A Satanist, and then, still more, in his expanded work Marx and Satan. Paine, Wurm Brand, and other researchers have lifted a lid on the troubling, bubbling cauldron of demonic, revolutionary brew that many on the left have been at pains to keep hidden. Consider Marx's poem The Player, in which he writes, "The hellish vapors rise and fill the brain, till I go mad and my heart is utterly changed. See this sword? The Prince of Darkness sold it to me. For me beats the time and gives the signs. Ever more boldly I play the dance of death." Emphasis added, then, there is Marx's invocation of one in despair, in which we find, "So a god has snatched from me my all. In the curse and rack of destiny. All his worlds are gone beyond recall. Nothing but revenge is left to me. I shall build my throne high overhead. Cold, tremendous shall its summit be. For its bulwark, superstitious dread. For its martial, blackest agony." The fevered brain of Marx, the poet, dramatist, also brought forth the dark drama Olenum, from which we quote. And they are also Olenum, Olenum. The name rings forth like death, rings forth. Until it dies away in a wretched crawl. Stop, I've got it now. It rises from my soul. Yet I have power within my youthful arms. To clench and crush you, humanity, with tempestuous force. While for us both the abyss yawns in darkness. You will sink down and I shall follow laughing. Whispering in your ears, descend, come with me, friend. If there is a something which devours. I'll leap within it, though I bring the world to ruins. The world which bulks between me and the abyss. I will smash to pieces with my enduring curses. Yes, Marx, the great humanitarian, who cared so much for humanity and social justice, so much so that he wanted to devour the entire world and drag it with him to ruin and damnation in the abyss. And his acolytes, Lenin, Stalin, Mao, Castro, Ho Chi Minh, etc., have, indeed, come close to doing so. In another poem, The Pale Maiden, the co-author of the Communist Manifesto and author of Das Kapital further revealed his satanic inclinations. Marx wrote, "Thus heaven I've forfeited, I know it full well. My soul, once true to God, is chosen for hell. This obsession with death, destruction, despair, ruin, curses, hellish vapors, the abyss, hell, the prince of darkness, etc., is not exactly the sign of a healthy mind. Yet, millions follow him religiously. Russian anarchist Mikhail Bakunin, one of Marx's comrades in the First International, called Satan the eternal rebel, the first free thinker and the emancipator of worlds. We find numerous similar expressions of solidarity with Satan and enmity for God by leftist revolutionaries from the French Revolution to the present. The Luciferian Trail. Of more recent vintage along these lines is some social justice wisdom from the Chicago-based, Marxist, agitator-tactician-provocateur Saul Alinsky, who wrote this paean to Lucifer in the introductory page of his book Rules for Radicals. Lest we forget at least an over-the-shoulder acknowledgement to the very first radical, from all our legends, mythology, and history, and who is to know where mythology leaves off and history begins, or which is which, the first radical known to man who rebelled against the establishment and did it so effectively that he at least won his own kingdom, Lucifer. The folks at Snopes, The Washington Post, and other bastions of progressivism scoff when critics point to this Alinsky reference and insist it is merely a literary allusion, nothing to be taken seriously. Ditto for Alinsky's other devilish remarks. In an interview with Playboy shortly before his death in 1972, Alinsky unreservedly threw in his lot with Satan. He told the Hefner Porn Mag, "If there is an afterlife, and I have anything to say about it, I will unreservedly choose to go to hell, once I get into hell." Alinsky said, "I'll start organizing the have-nots over there. They're my kind of people." Again, his supporters say, "Tisk, tisk, the man was just being provocative, he didn't mean for his comments to be taken seriously, but Whitaker Chambers took this type of thing seriously." Chambers was a former top-level Communist Party operative and Soviet agent before converting to Christianity. In an essay titled The Devil, which was published in 1948 in Life magazine, Chambers wrote, "Baudelaire, that old flower of evil, was right, the devil's cleverest wile is to make men believe that he does not exist." Chambers found out that not only were most of our fake news media doing their utmost to help the devil hide his existence, but they were striving equally hard to convince the American public that the communist devils he was warning about in our government didn't really exist either. Chambers was not alone. Many other former high-level communists also came forward: Bella Dodd, Hede Massing, Nathaniel Whale, Elizabeth Bentley, Louis Budintz, to name but a few, but, like Chambers and Senator Joseph McCarthy, they were either smeared or ignored or smeared then ignored by the establishment media. However, the Marx-Lucifer alliance is getting harder to camouflage, especially when it comes out of the closet in the forms of the Antifa witches and the Antifa street terrorists. Legions of Alinsky disciples, including Hillary Clinton and Chicago community organizer Barack Obama, have been carrying on the Alinsky-Lucifer legacy for decades, operating both inside and outside of government. Their lower-level minions have been rioting and burning cities for decades, and the current crop of Alinsky votaries are engaged in stirring Luciferian rage throughout the land, hoping to topple the Trump presidency and/or raise their level of violence to a degree that they can incite an outright civil war. Subscribe to The New American and listen to more by clicking podcast on the top right corner of our homepage. Also, please consider donating to help us push out more content for you, our listeners.